Today's daf is Nedarim daf Yud Beis. We are holding on the very bottom of daf Yud Aleph and Beis, and we closed yesterday with the shaila that was posed by Rami Bar Chama, and pretty much the entire daf is going to be trying to prove what the answer to that question is. Rami Bar Chama raised the question. We were talking about hatfasa b'nedarim, when you're matfis on something, you say that this is, instead of saying I'm taking another this zasser, you say that this item should be kazeh. It should be like something else. So what if you have in front of you basar shlamim, you have meat of a carbon shlamim, la'achar zrikas damim, after the zrika was already done, when it's mutter for you to eat. You're not allowed to eat it if you're tameh, you're not allowed to eat it outside your shlamim, but it's mutter for you to eat. So, and you have in front of you a kikar, and you say, this kikar should be kazeh, and you point at the basar shlamim. Do we assume that you're trying to say that it should be like the basar shlamim ba'atzmusa, which is kadshim, and therefore it should be asr? Or are you saying that no, just like the basar shlamim right now is mutter, this other item should also be mutter? So the Gemara Namad Aleph is going to have three rayas to try to prove one way or the other in that discussion. On Amud Beis, through the third raya, we're going to get into a little bit of a tangent in discussing the concept of being mafresh trumas lachme toda. When a person brings a carbon toda, he has to make 40 loaves of bread, four different kinds, 10 of each kind, but of the lachme toda, he's supposed to take one of each kind and make that a truma for the Kohen. So we're going to discuss when to be mafresh the trumas lachme toda and some of the details of that. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to say that the shaila of Rami Bar Chama may actually be a machlokas tanaim, and we'll get into tomorrow's daf as to how that may not be the case. But at least as far as today's daf is concerned, it may actually be a machlokas tanaim. So let's begin again. We'll actually start again from the shaila itself, since the whole daf is about the shaila of Rami Bar Chama. So we'll go back five or six lines on Yud Aleph and Beis. Boy Rami Bar Chama, hare alai kibasar zivchei shlamim lachar zrikas damim mahu. What if a person says, I am taking upon myself that this item should be like meat of a carbon shlamim after the zrika. So, well, if he said it in exactly that lashon, then he's just saying that the item should be mutter, because basar zivchei shlamim after zrika is mutter. Ella kigon de machis basar zivchei shlamim. Now it must be that what he has is, in front of him, he has meat of a carbon shlamim, and it's after the zrika, and he also has something mutter right in front of him. Va'amar ze kazeh. And he takes the item that's mutter and says, this item should be kazeh, like this item, and he points to the basar zivchei shlamim la'achar zrikas dam. Mai, so what's the din? Be karokamatfis? Obet terakamatfis. Is he trying to say that it should be like kadshim and basar zivchei shlamim be ikara, what they are at their root, what they are at their identity is kadshim? Or do we say that no, he's trying to say that it should be mutter, just like basar zivchei shlamim after the zrikas dam is 100% mutter? So the Gemara, again, the whole daf is just going to try to bring proofs which side of this shaila is, what the correct answer to this shaila is, which side is correct. So proof number one, Amar Rava. Rava says, well, we mentioned in our Mishnah, when we talk about being matvis b'nedarim, Tashma, the Mishnah had said, nosar upigal, that a person says that an item should be like nosar or pigal, right? That was the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yudam and Beis. The Mishnah had said that if a person says, v'tame nosar upigal, osir, that he identifies that the kikar that he has should be like nosar or should be like pigal, that's going to be osir. But wait a second, v'ha nosar upigal, la'achar zrikas damim hu. Clearly what he says when he's saying nosar upigal is he's not referring to the Isser of Nosar and the Isser of Pigal per se, because the Isser of Nosar and the Isser of Pigal would not be an effective Hatfasa, because that's a Davara Asr. One is only allowed to be Matvis Bidavara Nader, not Bidavara Asr. What that means is you can only say this item should be, you can only take a Neder with Hatfasa by saying that this item should be like that, like something else that's Asr, if the like that, the something else that you're trying to connect it to, is something that you yourself made Asr, that you yourself designated as an iser. A karban is something that you designate. That's where it's going to work. But if it's something that's just usr, that was always usr, well, then that doesn't work. You can't take a neder on something that was always, by being matvis, on something that's just inherently usr. So, but when we're talking about nosar pigul, it can't be that what you're trying to be matvis is the iser nosar or the iser pigul, because that wouldn't be an effective hatfasa. What we must be referring to is that since nosar and pigul are things that are shayach only to a karban, you're trying to latch on to that kedushas hakarban, and that's what you're trying to make your neder chal on. That's how you're trying to be matvis the neder. But wait a second, as far as the kedushas hakarban of something that later became nosar and pigul, it only becomes nosar and pigul once you already had the zrikas dam, once it's already mutter to eat. Certainly nosar, the Rishonim debate whether pigul belongs over here, but certainly nosar. Nosar by definition is something that was mutter to eat, and you just waited till past the proper time frame to eat it. So when you're dealing with nosar, clearly it's la'achar zrikas damim, and still we see that it's a proper hatfasa, even though right now it's already mutter, already had a shas heter, still we viewed as a proper atfasa. So answers Gemara, Amar le Rav Huna b'Reider Rav Nasan, b'nosar shel ola. No, maybe we're not talking about regular nosar, maybe we're talking about nosar shel ola, and carbon ola is never mutter to eat, it never had a shas heter. Maybe that's why it's a proper atfasa, meaning don't prove from the fact that the Mishnah says nosar pigel that it must be bi'ikaro kamatfis, that you're not identifying, you're not being matfis on what the item is right now, but on what it is in its nature, and its inherent nature, and therefore nosar is a proper atfasa because in its inherent nature it's usr, even though right now it's already after the zrikas dam and it's already become mutter. No, because maybe we're talking about nosar of ola, which is not even mutter after the zrikas dam. Ola always has to be the entire thing gets burnt. None of it ever gets eaten. So Amr Leh said, well, that's a nice dechia, but imkain listni kebasar ola. Let it say basar ola. Why does it say nosar pigel? It has nothing to do with it being nosar pigel at all. Anyway, it's all about just the kedusha of the animal. Just say that whenever you try to be matfis bebasar ola, let the Mishnah talk about that case. Whenever you matfis bebasar ola, that's a proper atfasa. That's what the Mishnah should have said. So Gemara says, well, lomi bayi kamer. And the Mishnah is sort of alluding to that. What the Mishnah is saying is as follows. It's written in the style of lomi bayi. Lomi bayi basar, the style of lomi bayi means that it doesn't even bother mentioning that which is most obvious. It only mentions that which is a little less obvious and can provide a bigger chiddush. And it runs as follows. Lomi bayi basar ola da asr da bekarbon kamat. This, it doesn't even need to be said that if you take a kikar, you take a loaf of bread, and you say that this loaf of bread should be like basar ola, of course that's going to be a proper neder, and the loaf is going to be asir, because you're being matfis in a karbon, you're being matfis in an ola. But nosar or pigul da ola itzricha. The chiddush is that even if it's nosar or pigul of a karban ola, that too is a proper lashon of hadfasa. Salka daita chamina, because one might have thought ki iser nosar ki iser pigul vavle kematvis bedavra aser v'lo mitzer. One might have thought that if you try to say that this loaf of bread should be like nosar or pigul of an ola, what you really mean to say is that it should be like the iser of nosar and the iser of pigul, and then it's an ineffective neder, because you're only allowed to be matvis bedavar another and not bedavar ha'asur. Nosar and pigul, in its essence, is a davar ha'asur. So the whole hatfasa shouldn't work. Kamash Malan, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though you use that terminology, you said the words nosar and the words pigul, that's not what you were really trying to be matfis. What you were really trying to be matfis is the fact that it's a karban. So when you took your loaf of bread and said, let it be like the nosar or pigul of an ola, you weren't really saying nosar or pigul. What you really meant to emphasize is let it be like an ola. And that's the chiddush, that we could ignore the fact that you said, let it be like nosar and pigul of an ola. You really meant to say, let it be like an ola. But at the end of the day, this raya is an ineffective raya. We had a shayla, again, going back to Rabbi Barachama's shayla that the whole daf is about, where if you take a loaf of bread and you say, let it be like this meat of a karban shlamim, when that meat of a karban shlamim is already mutter, already had a zrikas dam, so you're allowed to eat it already. Do you mean to say that my loaf of bread should be mutter, just like that meat is mutter? Or do you mean to say that just like that meat is kodesh, so too my loaf of bread should be kodesh and be aser? So the first raya was, well, nosar and pigel is a proper atfasa. You could say, let this loaf of bread be like nosar and pigel, and nosar and pigel has already had his zrikas dam, so it's already mutter, and nevertheless, we still say, we don't look at what it is now, we look at what it is be ikaro. So the Gemara rejected the raya that nosar pigel is not about a regular nosar pigel case. It's about a case of a karban ola where it's never going to be mutter. But raya number two now, mesve. The Gemara says we'll bring a second raya over here. The mesve, this is one of those nedarim quirks that even though mesve is almost always a question on what we just said, over here it's not really a question on what we just said. It's more of a tashema that a lot of times the lashon nedarim is different. The lashon of the Gemara Maseches Nedarim is different than it is in the rest of Shas. So we could add this to the list. I haven't been keeping a list, but we've been mentioning it. So here's another example. I think Mechavrus has a list. Rabbi Razin, when we learned it 7.5 years ago, kept a list through the Masechta. He had like 30 examples or something by the end. But there's a lot of times where in the Masechta that it's a little bit, the Lashon is a little bit different. This seems to be one of those cases. The other way the Rishonim tights it up is that it's a Meisivei on those who thought that we don't have a Raya. Because look, we do have a Raya from some other source. But that's still just a fancy way of saying Tashma, that there's another Raya. So here's another Raya. Ezu Isur HaAmar B'Torah. What is a classic case of a Neder that the Torah speaks of? Omar, so here's the example. A guy says, Hareini Shalo Ochel Basar V'Shalo Eshtayayin Kiyom Shemespo Aviv. A person takes upon himself that he's not going to eat meat and he's not going to drink wine like the day that his father died. Meaning, like a day of yahrzeit, that he's going to treat this day like a yahrzeit. Or, kiyom shemespo rabo, like the day that his Rebbe died, which also, apparently, he has some sort of din of yahrzeit. Or, kiyom shenereg bo Gedalia ben Achikam, not the day that his father or his Rebbe died, but the day that Gedalia died. And that's a day that we all observed Tzom Gedalia. So what he essentially means to say is that this is a day that I'm going to take upon myself not to eat meat and not to drink wine, just like a fast day. Just like I don't eat meat and drink wine on a fast day. Or, kiyom shari isi Yerushalayim b'chabana, like the day I saw Yerushalayim b'chabana. Our minig is that we don't fast when we see Yerushalayim, but we tear kriya, though. There are signs of avelus. When we see Yerushalayim b'chabana, the halach in Shulchan Aruch is that you're supposed to tear kriya. When you see the Ari Yehuda b'chabana, Yerushalayim b'chabana, and then the Makom HaMikdash b'chabana. Our minig is we only do it on the Makom HaMikdash, because it's first of all, it's a major question, bizmanenu, whether it's called Yerushalayim b'chabana. Now that we have Jewish control over Yerushalayim, Mikdash Baruch Habana, we're pretty confident that that's called, even though the state of Israel has control over some level of control over the Har HaBayis, it's still called Mikdash Baruch Habana as long as there's a giant dome on the top of the Har HaBayis and there's no base of Mikdash there. But Yerushalayim Baruch Habana, that's a little more iffy. Is it called Yerushalayim Baruch Habana? What's so different about the way Yerushalayim is now and the way Yerushalayim will be? Well, there are differences. We're not eating Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. But on the other hand, it's hard to call it Bechorban if it's more built up than it's been in thousands of years. Okay, whatever, it's an issue. But we generally speaking, we have the minute of we wait on the Kriya until we see the Makom HaMikdash, and that's where we tear the Kriya. But the assumption was that when you see Yerushalayim Bechorban, there was a fast day. There was a whole deal, and there were those that wanted to change Nachim and Tisha B'Av. Because how can you say that Yerushalayim is Baruch Habana, that it's Eretz Shemama, etc. If it's not true, our meaning is we don't change nothing. We keep it the way it is. But okay, Vamar Shmuel v'husha nadur ba'osayom. Shmuel says that's provided you're taking a neder on that day. Say, hey Chidami, what does that mean? What are we talking about over here? When are you saying that you're not going to be able to eat like the day Shemes Bo'aviv? Lav kigon dekai bechad b'shaba demispe avua? Aren't we talking about a case, let's translate it like this, that you're on the anniversary of the day that you're meaning it's on a Sunday, and the person's father died on a Sunday, and the person says it should be this Sunday, it should be like the day that his father died, or let's say it even better, you're saying that it should be like a Sunday, and the father happened to have died on a Sunday. So aren't we assuming what you mean when you say it should be like a Sunday is not like any other random Sunday? You're saying it should be like a Yom Rishon that the father originally died on. That's what the guy's actually saying. So we have two ways of interpreting what he's saying. He could either be saying it should be like what's right in front of me, which is the most recent Sunday, and that would mean that he's just saying it's mutter to eat meat and drink wine, because every other Sunday it's mutter to eat meat and drink wine. Or you could say bi'ikaro kamatfis, that what he's really trying to connect to is the original nature of Sunday, which to him always means the day that his father died. And if that's the case, it's actually going to be a neder. So you see over here, we're saying that this is the very classic example of a neder. And you see what he's doing is, there are two ways to interpret what he's saying. You could say behashta kamatfis or bi'ikaro kamatfis, and we're interpreting that bi'ikaro kamatfis. Vavagavdika tuvachad v'shaba de'atera, there are plenty of Sundays where you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine, but still the katani aser, we're assuming that it's aser, because what he really means is not the plenty of Sundays that are mutter to eat meat and drink wine. He's referring back to the yahrzeit day. So this is a raya to Rami Bar Chama's shaila. Rami Bar Chama asks, if you're matfis on basar shlamim, that right now is mutter, do you mean that whatever you're being known there should be like that basar is right now? Or like it was, like it originally was, as kodesh, and therefore for us, sir. So you see from here that you must mean like it originally was. Just like a guy says that I want to have meat and wine be to me today like a Sunday. He doesn't mean this Sunday. He means the Sunday that his father died. So you see, bi'ikaro kamatfis. Answers the Gemara, nah, deshmuel hachi itmer. Amar Shmuel v'usho nadur uba me'osa hayom ve'elach. Shmuel is talking about a situation where every Sunday you took upon yourself to fast, to not eat meat and drink wine, since the father died. So therefore, every Sunday is a day that's us and eat meat and drink wine. So it has nothing to do with whether it be Karo Kamatfis or Badashta Kamatfis. Even if he means what's right now. What's right now is also Aser, because that's the nature of the case over here. That was the nature of the neder that the person had taken. It's actually Machlokas Rush and the Ran, how to interpret this whole back and forth of the Gemara. The Rush understands that we're talking about the guy's father died on a Sunday, and on that day that he died, he took a neder not to eat meat, and then when a certain time passed, he said, I'm not going to eat meat like a Sunday. Right? I'm not going to eat basar like a Sunday. So the Brisa says his neder is going to be chal. So the Gemara says, you see, bi'ikaro kamatfis. Because otherwise, we would not have explained that the Sunday means the Sunday that his father died. Rather, it must have referred to some other Sunday that's later on where he has no where he has no iser. So we assume that bi'ikaro kamatfis. That was the Gemara's raya. So over here, the girsa, according to the Rosh, is not dikai b'chad b'shad Shabba de Mispeh Avua, right? It's not that he's standing there and taking the neder on the Sunday that his father died. He could be taking the neder where it would be on the day that's the same day that his father died. No, the girsa should be dekanadar bechad b'shaba de mispeh avua, not dekayi bechad b'shaba de mispeh avua, but dekanadar bechad b'shaba de mispeh avua. He's taking the neder by being matfis to his Sunday. It has nothing to do with what day of the week it is currently when he's taking the neder. It could be Tuesday right now, but he's saying that today should be like the Sunday. And our whole question is, what does he mean by the Sunday? Does he mean the most recent Sunday, which is Mutter, or does he mean the original Sunday that his father died, which is Asr, which was the day that he made Asr for himself? So that's how the Rush understands. So it's not that he's taking this neder on a Sunday. He could be taking this neder whenever, but he's taking the neder by being matfis to a Sunday. The Ran understands that in the case of the Rush, where he's on a day that has no resemblance or no connection whatsoever to his yahrzeit, it's not mistaver that you would say be ikaro kamatfis. That when he says that today should be like a Sunday, that he means the Sunday 15 years ago when his father died. So he says, no, what the girsa is dekai b'chad b'shabas de mispe avua. What it means to say is that he's on the same day. He's on the anniversary of his father's death. And only then we say b'ikar kamatfis, when the day that he's actually taking the neder is the anniversary of his father's death. The Achronim raised the question that l'chora, the raya doesn't seem to really match so perfectly to the case of Rami Bar Chama, because over here you have to say that he's trying to be matvis bi'ikaro, because otherwise what's he saying? Meaning, otherwise he's saying what? It should be like a random Sunday or a random Monday or a random Tuesday? That doesn't mean anything. Meaning when you're talking about the shayla of Rami Bar Chama, he says that this item should be like the carbon shlamim la'achar zrika. Well, there are rules about a carbon shlamim la'achar zrika. You're not allowed to eat it when you're tamei. You're only allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. So at the very least, so the whole shayla of Rami Bar Chama is, does he mean to make this kikar aser to him like kodesh, like a carbon shlamim before the zrika, or does he mean to limit its usage like a carbon shlamim la'achar zrika? But either way, he means to say something. Over here, he doesn't mean anything if he doesn't mean the Sunday that his father died. So the Netziv explains in Rami Sada, they have to say, according to the Havamina of the Gemara, that we're talking about that he has a minag not to eat meat any Sunday. And it was just that there's a fast day, but he was never mekabel that as a neder. The neder is only on the yard site. But on any Sunday, he has a minag not to eat meat. So the question is he being matvis bedavar another, or is he not being matvis bedavar another? But he clearly means to say something. That's a major chiddush, a major ukimta to add into the Gemara, but you have to say something. Otherwise, you have to give some interpretation of what's going on over here, otherwise the raya doesn't seem to match. There is a discussion in Achronim. What does this mean? He's going to fast just like on the day that his father died. Do people fast on the day that their father died? On Yahrzeit's minhag seems to be people bring a little schnapps and some mezonos to shul, and they have a tikkun, and people make some brachas. Some people have a Yahrzeit seuda, you know, where they invite family and they speak about the niftar or something like that. What's this about fasting? So a lot of the Achronim point out, no, you see very clearly from here that the proper minhag, the bach and yardeh and simon tav gimel, chumas adash and simon reshad gimel, you see very clearly from here the proper minhag is that it should be a yom tainis, that a yardside is a day that one is supposed to fast. Rabbi Kiveger, the Shulchan Aruch, in his Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch, in yardeh simon tav beis, quotes from the Torah Chaim. He says, l'chora, if this gemara is the source to fast for a yardside, one should fast on the day that his Rabbi Mufak dies also, because the gemara doesn't just say yom shemes bo'av, it says yom shemes bo Rabbo, the day that his Rebbe died. So Rabbi Kiveger adds that we should fast that day as well. Why is it though that one would fast? The post Gemara isn't so sure that it makes sense to fast for Rabbi Yishla. Kadosh explains that we fast for a day that, I'm sorry, the Eliyahu Rabbo quotes from the Shla Kadosh, but then says on his own that it's Mishum Kavod. It's if it's Mishum Kavod, it makes sense that it's for the Rebbe and for the father alike. But if it's Mishum, the Eliyahu Rabbo suggests not Mishum Kavod, but Mishum Reya Mazale, that there's a bad mazel on a day that a family member died, that the family is considered very connected to each other in a metaphysical sense, in a spiritual sense, a family is considered to be very much connected to each other. So on a day that a family member dies, it's considered to be something that's a bad mazel for that entire family. It's like what the Shulchan Aruch says, that when someone dies in a family, the whole chevra should view it as if there's cherev shlufa kenegdo, as if it's a dangerous time. So there's nothing closer than family. So it's a dangerous time for family. So the Eliyahu Rabbo is not convinced that same svara would apply for a Rebbe, maybe only for a father. The other possibility that the Achronim raises is that maybe it's Mishum Kapara, that it's for the sake of Kapara of the Niftar that you fast so that the Niftar could have Kapara. So that's why the child would fast. The Chemet says, what if your father was a tzaddik, so he doesn't need a Kapara? So everyone needs a Kapara. Even as I ain't tzaddik barat shlo yechta, everyone needs some sort of Kapara. So you should fast no matter what the... But that's the Minchas Yitzchak quotes that in the name of the Sefer Chesel Avram, he says that maybe the minhag to eat or to have a tikkun was that he says kisharod tzadikei adar hatashus koach shabali olam vador cholush mismait vaholich vein bekochem klalis anulus l'sagiv esgufam. When people saw that we don't have the ability to fast anymore, that it's very difficult for us to fast, so they came up with a different etzah, something that's shavu l'kol nefesh, that in the day of a yahrzeit they're going to do tzedakah and achnasas arachim, and that's not going to hurt us physically. And how do you do tzedakah? You you bring some food to the shul. There are always aniyim in every shul. That was that's the way it was. They didn't have communities where, you know, the price of getting in was buying a house, you know, for whatever. So there are always aniyim in every shul, and therefore it was always a tzedakah. You bring a tikkun, that was a tzedakah. So that's where the sword, that's where the minhag comes from, says the Minchas Yitzchak. Probably I always thought the minhag comes from that the aval himself, the person himself is observing the outside, he's fasting, and he brings in the tikkun, so other people will make brachos to be mashlim as mea brachos. He's fasting, so he's not going to be able to have mea brachos, which is the chiv and shulchan aruch, to say mea brachos b'chol yom. So when other people make brachos, he answers amen, and that bracha counts on his cheshbon toward his mea brachos. I always thought that's, I must have seen that somewhere, there's no way I made that up. So there must have been that someone says that's where it comes from, to bring the tikkun, that it's about that. But that's another possibility. There is a discussion over here. We're talking about the Yom Shemesh Bo'aviv is the day that a person is supposed to fast. What if the Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKavura is not on the same day? Get the shaila all the time. What's the yahrzeit? Is the yahrzeit the day where the person died or the day when the person was buried? Very often a person dies and then it's close to sunset, so they can do the Tara over the course of that night, and then the burial will be the next morning. So there's a Trumas HaDeshen in Simreish Sadi Gimel discusses this, and he wavers back and forth, and he says that he brings a raya from a Gemara in Sota, in the beginning of Sota, by Kvuras Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara says that Rivka was Misnave and Shizen Yodas Manasnave. Rivka once said, I don't want to lose both my sons on the same day. And it turned out, says the Gemara in Sota, she lost both her sons on the same day, because they were bringing Yaakov to Kvura, and Chushim Ben Dan, Esav was putting up a fight, and Chushim Ben Dan didn't realize what was going on. Esav's trying to take away the Makum Kvura from Yaakov, and he kills Esav, and he cuts off his head on the spot, and Esav's head rolls in the Varsa Mechpin, and the Gemara says, so you see that Rivka's prophecy came true, that she lost both of them on the same day. But it must have taken a while to schlep Yaakov's body from Mitzrayim all the way to Maris HaMachpelah. Probably took a little while. Probably wasn't the same day. No, but they were buried on the same day. The Kavura was on the same day. Says Shumas Deshan LaHalacha. He brings a raya from the Sagarat to Gemara that you see that the Yom HaKavura is the Iker, not the Yom HaMisa is the Iker, the Yom HaKavura. But he says, on the other hand, our Gemara, which actually talks about a yard site, says, B'Yom SheMesbo Aviv. Yom SheMesbo Rabo. Doesn't sound like Yom HaKavura. Sounds like the Yom HaMisa. The Shulchan Aruch in some Tavkov Samaches says that you only fast on Yom Misas Aviv, not Yom Kavura. That it's only on the day of the Misa, not the Yom Kavura. And the Mishmura says, and that's true even in the Shana Rishona. Why would you think the Shana Rishona of Avelus would be different? Because the Avelus starts in Yom Kavura. So the 12 months of Avelus ends on the anniversary of the Yom Kavura, not on the anniversary of the Yom Misa. So you would think that since the 12 months goes by the Kavura, that that's when the yard site should go. So Mishmura points out, if the Yom Kavura and Yom Misa are one day apart, it actually works out very nicely, that the Yud Beis Chodesh are actually up on the Yom Misa because it's the last day of the Yud Beis Chodesh. But he says even if they're 3-4 days apart, you would still say Yard Site is based on Yom Misa, even though the Yud Beis Chodesh is based on Yom Kvura, which is amazing. It will turn out that the guy continues to be an Avel after the first yard site, if his parent was buried a few days after the Yom Misa. I think the minhag is not that way. I think our minhag is that if they're separate on the first year, we go with based on the Yom Kavura, and after that we do it based on the Yom Misa. I'm pretty sure that's the minhag. Rav Vosner has an interesting tshuva in Chelaches. Someone asked him, a guy lives in Eretz Yisrael, parent lived in Chutz Laretz, and he received word that the parent died, 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Chutz Laretz, which is already the next day in Eretz Yisrael. So which day is his yard site? Is it the date that it was in Chutz Laretz when the parent died, or the date that the child lost the parent from the world? For the child, it was the following day because he was in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Vosner thought that it would go based on the child. He said that the reason that we have the whole din of yard site is based on kapara or something like that. He thought that it's something that's the child's responsibility to observe the yard site. So since it's the child's responsibility to observe it as a fast day, it should be based on the child, which is a big chiddush also. I think Pashtus is not that way. No? What if there are siblings in America and siblings in Israel? They're going to observe different yard sites. You have siblings on one side of the date line, another side, they're going to observe different yard sites? I don't know. Is that the minute? I don't think so. I think everyone generally observes the same yard site for the same nifter. We view it as a tikkun for the nifter. Yeah, the people doing the tikkun are the avelim, but it's a tikkun for the nifter. So you view mitzad the nifter, not mitzad the avelim themselves. I always thought that was the Pashtus. Okay. Says Gemara, third raya. Amar Raviva, going back to Rami Bar Chama's question. Tashma, kichalas arun ukitrumaso mutter. If a person says that my loaf of bread should be treated like chala, which you give to a kohen, or like truma, that you give to a kohen, the halacha is that it's mutter, because it's something that's a davara asr, and you can't be matfis bedavara asr. Chala and truma are not a davara nadir, they're a davara asr. Wait a second, what's the definition of a davar anadir? Isn't the definition of a davar anadir something that you yourself get to declare as asr? So why is chala and truma a davar asr, not a davar anadir? It would seem to be the prototypical, paradigmatic examples of something that's a davar anadir. You have grain that's totally fine, regular, normal grain. You decide to make it truma. Isn't that the very definition of a davar anadir? Machlokas Ran on the one hand versus the Russian Tosa on the other hand, how to answer that question. The Ran writes, on the bottom, 2 lines on the bottom, the Alphagav de Bukriya Shay Mitzri, Kivan Shay Nuasa Lakal, Davar Asr Mikri. Even though you're making it Asr, but you don't have the ability to make it Asr to everybody. You're only making it Asr to Kohanim, to non Kohanim. When you make it Truma, Kohanim are still allowed to eat it. So since it's not Asr to everybody, we don't call that a Davar Anadr. We call it a Davar Asr when it's not Asr to everybody. That's the Ran's approach. But if you look in the Tosfos and the Rush over here, also on the bottom of the page, Tosfos writes, "Yeshlomer mikol makom ein esr shabetruma baal yidei afrasha." When you separate truma, you're not making it aser. It was aser before you mafris the truma. You know why? Because before you mafris truma, it's tevel. So tevel is aser. So you didn't make it aser. That's not a davar anadir. It's something that was always aser because it was tevel beforehand. You just changed it from tevel to truma. So you changed the title of the iser. But it was always Aser, it was Tevel before, now it's Truma, that's how the Rush says as well. All you've done when you were designated a portion of your Tevel as Truma is that you were Matir the rest of the Tevel, but you didn't make the portion that's Truma Aser, it was Aser beforehand because it was already Tevel. This is a major Maramakom in the discussion of Yosef Engel has an Asfan Da'araisa about how we view the relationship between the Isser of Tevel and the Isser of Truma. There are three ways to view that relationship. One could view it as they have nothing to do with each other. There's an Isser called Tevel, there's an Isser called Truma, they have different rules, they're different Isurim. It just happens to be that a grain has to go through the process, a produce has to go through the process of being Tevel first, and then ultimately it will be Truma, but they're really not related to each other. Another possibility is there's really only in the Torah an Isser of Tevel, and the Isser of Tevel is on all your produce, but when you're Mafrish Truma, you're able to isolate only that tiny percentage of your produce that keeps the Isser Tevel, and the rest of the produce becomes mutter. But the Isser Truma is really just a leftover of the Isser Tevel. It's just the Isser Tevel continuing when something is Asr as Truma. Or the other way to view it is, the third way to view it, Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses, is maybe there's really only such a thing as an Isser Truma. Truma is the real Isser. Why is Tevel Asr? Because there's Truma Mu'uravbo. Because until you've separated the Truma in that Tevel, there is Truma mixed in with the rest of that Tevel. Phenomenal Diyun in Lamdus about how to view the connection between Tevel and Truma. Now the Rush over here and Tos over here clearly seem to indicate that the Isra Tevel and the Isra Truma are very much connected to each other, because he says it always was a Devara Asr. All you've done is you were Matir the rest of the Tevel, but the Truma remains the same. And the Rush seems to say explicitly that it's only Asr Mishum Truma Hamu'uravbo, that Tevel's only Asr because there is Truma mixed in to that Tevel. The question that the Achronim deal with is that, wait a second, that's the way you're going to view it, then how come the laws of Truma have different laws than the laws of Tevel? Why is it that a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, but he's not allowed to eat Tevel? If the whole reason Tevel is Asr is because there's Truma Mu'uravbo, then why can't a Kohen eat Tevel? Kohen's allowed to eat Truma, so Kohen should be allowed to eat Tevel as well. So Rav Yosef Engel discusses, and he says, well, that shouldn't be so strange. A Kohen is allowed to eat Kachikachim, right? He's allowed to eat certain karbanos. When is he allowed to eat it? only after you do the avoda and the zrika. There are certain, you just have to wait. You have to wait till you do all the matirim that actually make it mutter. So maybe in a chinami, tevel is only asr mishum truma mu'urav bo, but part of the nature of the dinim of truma is that you have to wait. You have to wait till the process plays out. So that's why the kohen has to wait. Rav Yosef Engel suggests that maybe what Tosfos and the Rosh mean is that anytime something is nadir, that a davar nadir is something that's only asr only because of the neder and was mutter beforehand. But if something that was asr beforehand, even if it is a different iser, maybe you're not going to call it a davar hanadr, you'll call it a davar aser. Meaning what he suggests is that this Tosfos and this Rosh are not necessarily a raya, that the iser of Tevel and the iser of Truma are so connected to each other. Maybe they're not so connected to each other. It's just that it's a technicality in the definition of davar hanadr and davar aser that the Tosfos and the Rosh are pointing out. That something is called a davar aser if it was aser for any reason. It's not going to be called a davar another if you just shifted the iser from an iser tevel to an iser truma, even though they're two totally separate isurim. And there are other approaches in Rishonim as well, aside from the Ran's approach and Tosfos' approach, why this is called a davar aser and not called a davar another. The Rashba writes, because the iser of a zar eating truma is nothing to do with kedushas truma. It's because the truma is nichsei kohen. It's a dinim mamonis issue ba'atzmu. So it's really because the truma belongs to the kohen. What's the raya that it doesn't really to the Kedushas Truma? Who's allowed to eat Truma? Well, the Kohen's allowed to eat Truma, he's Kadosh, but his Eved is allowed to eat Truma. Well, the Eved has not, his Behema is allowed to eat, that there's no Kedusha there, so it must be that it's about it being Nichsei Kohen, not about it being, so that's why Truma is considered a Davar HaAsur and not a Davar HaNadr. Okay, so, but anyway, we didn't, the Raya is not what the Mishnah does say, it's what it doesn't say. We say, when you're Matvis Betruma, so then it's going to be Mutter, because that's a Davar HaAsur. Hakitrumas lachme toda aser. But if you say that your loaf of bread should be like trumas lachme toda, then it's going to be aser. But wait, but trumas lachme toda lachazrikas damhi. Trumas lachme toda is only after you already did the zrika. So trumas lachme toda are mutter to eat. So shouldn't that be just like the Karman Shlomim La'achar Zrika, where you're being matvis, and we say that it's going to be aser? So here you have a case where you could mean two things. You could mean Shumas Lach Metoda, like it is now after the Zrika, or Ba'atzmuso, Bi'ikaro, what it is, which is Kodesh. And we see that clearly you mean Ba'atzmuso, what it is, that it's Kodesh. Says Gemara, no. Wrong diuk. We should not make a diuk that if you would have said Shumas Lach Metoda, that would be a situation that it's asir. No, Ema, the diuk to make is Kitrumas Halishcha Asr. That if you were to say that instead of it being like Trumas Kohanim, it's like Trumas Halishcha, that would be Asr. Like the money that they have in the Beis HaMikdash collected for everyone's Machsa Shekel. If that's what you say, then it's going to be Asr. Aval Trumas Lach Metoda Mai Mutter. But if you would have said that it's like Trumas Lach Metoda, then maybe in a chinami it would be Mutter, because right now the Trumas Lach Metoda is only after the Zrika. Well, it says Gemara, well then listen, Lach Metoda Vakal Shkain Trumaso. Well then instead of the Mishnah giving an example of what's Mutter, when you're matvis betruma, why doesn't it say a bigger chiddush? Say, you know what's even mutter? If you're matvis betruma, slach metoda, even that's mutter, and that would be a greater chiddush. Says Marna Hakamashmalan. What's trying to tell me is truma slach metoda trumasohi. When the Mishnah says truma, it means even truma slach metoda. That's part of the definition of truma. Or you could say truma slach metoda nami kodem shikas damhu. Who said truma slach metoda? Maybe the diuk is correct. And if you would have said truma slach metoda enochinami, it would have been aser. But maybe trumas lach metoda doesn't mean after the zrika is done. Maybe you can have trumas lach metoda of the 40 loaves of bread, the one of each kind, the four loaves that go to a coin. And maybe that could happen before the zrika is done. Kigon daf rishinu belisha, where you separated it before you ever baked it. You see, you only bake it after the zrika. So that's why we assume the truma is only after the zrika. But maybe you separated the trumas lach metoda already while you were still kneading the dough. The chihadam Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, like Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna taught, Amr Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, lach metoda sha'afa in barba chalos yotza. If you bake lach metoda in four chalos, then you're yotze. Vaksiv arba'im, but wait, doesn't it need to be 40? Le mitzvah, lechadchila, it should be 40, but if you do it with four, that works as well. v'abal l'mishkel truma. But don't you have to take truma? How are you going to take truma if it's only four loaves? V'chitei v'deshakel chadarift al kula. And if you're going to say that you're going to take one loaf and that's going to be your truma, v'atran echem mikol karban shlo yitom mikarban al chaveiro. But the halacha is that no, you have to have separate loaves for each of the karbanos and for each of the types of loaves. That it doesn't work to just take one big one. V'chitei v'deshakel prusum mikol chad v'chad. So if you're going to say, oh no, maybe what you do is you bake four loaves, one rikikin, one this, you know, one of each kind, and you cut off 1/10 of each loaf, just cut off a piece, and that will be your truma. Vatanan echad shaloi echad. It says echad, which teaches shaloi tol prusa. You're not allowed to take a prusa. You're not allowed to take a broken piece off. You have to take a whole piece off. So you have to take a whole loaf. So that's not going to work. So it must be that the case is you were mafresh it while it was still a dough. You took the four different types of doughs. One of them is chametz, three of them are matzah, and the three that are matzah are just different amounts of, one has no oil, one has a little oil, one has a lot of oil, but they're made slightly differently, and you cut off a piece for truma slach metoda while they're still a dough, and therefore it's not considered a pruso because it's not a baked loaf that you're cutting from, it's just a piece of dough that you're taking from. The Aruch Lenar says, well, why don't we just say about this prusa issue, just say that the whole din of prusa is only the mitzvah min hamuvchar, that it's not an absolute requirement. So he says, no, the rule in general is by kachim that unless something is repeated, we assume it's ma'akev. But the Gemara assumes that by carbon todah, since todah is compared to nazir, and by nazir you don't need shinui la'akev, it says kein ye'aseh by nazir, that we assume by carbon todah also everything is automatically ma'akev, even if it's not repeated. So there's no such thing as only a lechadchila. But the fact that it's that, but we said before that there's a din that's only lemitzvah, that's not ma'akev. So vaksiv arba'im, we said that's only lemitzvah. So the Ritva suggests, yeah, that's because arba'im is not mefurish b'kra. But anything that's mefurish b'kra about the karban todah is going to be like nazir, that it's automatically ma'akev even if it doesn't repeat. The reason I'm mentioning this is we could add this to our list as well, because we had a list of different differences between when something's mefurish b'kra and when it's only learned from a drasha. We had the Ran and Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the Ran and about Talmud Torah being mefurish b'kra of Igis v'yom v'layla, and we had Daf Vavam Beis about the mefurish b'kra when you make a hekish, that ain't hekish l'mechza is only mefurish b'kra. And here we have a third example that the Ritva says that the idea that Karban Todah is not going to need Shina La'akev is only true on those rules of Karban Todah that are mefurish b'kra, not those laws of Karban Todah that are not mefurish b'kra. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll start with Lenika tonight.